Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 20th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Bruce Bostard of FCC Futures in Williamsville, Illinois, is away for the day. In agricultural news, the Japanese may close their border to U.S. beef again. And more details on the deal between Dow AgroSciences and Monsanto that will put Herculex into more than just Pioneer corn hybrids. Our feature for the day will look at an extension program called Annie's Project. I hooked it by saying farm women sometimes do a better job marketing grain than their husbands, but it's really about education. Stay with us for this Friday edition of your Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com. The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago now, on this Friday afternoon, March futures finished like this in the wheat pit at 326.5. They were unchanged for the day. May contract at 337.25 were up a quarter from Kansas City. The nearby hard red winter wheat March contract at 384, up one for the day. Corn pit now, March futures in Chicago, 205, unchanged. May contract at 215. They were up a quarter. July unchanged at 223.75. And September futures at 232.25, up a quarter. Beans, March contract, 568, up three. May futures at 577.75, up three. July soybeans, 587.5. They were up 3.5. And November soybeans up 3.25 at 597.5. Soybean meal, 179.5. They were up one for the day. And March bean oil at 20 higher, 21.28, the settlement price there. Mercantile exchange numbers. Feeder cattle finished at 112.60 today for the January contract, up 15 cents. February live cattle were down 35 at 95.77.5. And the lean hogs at $59.25 were up 60 cents on the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Welcome back, cowboy.
Thank you much. It's been a great ride over the last couple of weeks. Those of you who have not noticed that I've been gone, and I suppose some of you have, I've been on the road with the Corn and Soybean Classic Series here in the state of Illinois. That's when the specialists from campus go out. There were 10 of us on the road over the last 2 weeks to six different sites. We were in Bloomington, Malta, Moline last week, and this week in Springfield, Mount Vernon, and Collinsville. Met and talked with about 1,200 farmers and agribusiness folks, passing on some production agriculture programming as well. Daryl Good was along with us for that trip, and Gary Schnitke from the Ag Econ side. If you haven't ever made one of those, put it on your list for next January. It always comes up. It's a very, very good program, and I got to tell you, we eat better on that trip than any time the rest of the year. We go to some just magnificent restaurants. It takes a while to save up the money to go on it, but it's been a fun trip, and thank you very much to all of those who are listening. For the first time, or one of the first times that have been tuning in, I suppose those would probably come in from mostly the northern areas, I would think, especially the folks who are up near Rochelle and Malta, the folks down in Mount Vernon and over in Collinsville. We appreciate that you're tuning in for the day, whether you're doing that by the web or on AM 580 on our air signal, and we hope that you will stay with us, and I'd like to introduce all of you to one of the best analysts we have on the air with us, and they're all really quite good. His name, of course, is Mike Zuzolo. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, tell me, I have been out of the office, so I need to know kind of what's happened over the last 2 weeks, and then we'll start in on some questions.
Sure. Well, put it simply, the trade really was honed in on the commodity funds and the index funds before the USDA report, Todd, and then some people started looking at what maybe USDA might do because it was a January report after all, and we started trading more fundamentals, and the bean price took it most on the chin. We would, you know, say obviously because the trade had a pretty good idea that exports weren't up to pace and up to speed, and they were expecting that we would probably see a cut in those exports, and no one really knew what the ending stocks would end up being. So we went back from trading the funds back to the short-term micro fundamentals of USDA supply and demand, and since that report, we've traded more of the short-term technicals, some of the moving averages, and a lot more of the outside markets, because the trade has got kind of entrenched and in its mind a pretty big supply. And in between that, and probably something that we haven't talked about enough in our realm of work, is we saw a very nice cash-led rally in both corn, both beans, and the farmers did a very good job of rewarding that market, and that's probably the number one reason why the report started to be looked at again and the market turned away from the funds. That was probably the biggest catalyst, that farmers did reward the market very nicely, and that's healthy down the road, because we learned many, many years ago that really big, big rallies on summer droughts and summer weather events really can't happen until ending stocks that are, you know, especially very big from the year prior, are out of the farmers' hands and into the marketing chain and into the marketing channel. So it was a good thing the farmers did. We talked to a lot of folks in Pontiac this week that did a very nice job of marketing both old crop corn and old crop beans. Still have some left, you know, but they did take advantage of it. We're real happy about that.
You mean prior to the report?
That's exactly right. On the run-up, the trade and the market did a good job of buying bushels from the farmer. The pipeline's filled probably, we think, for the next 20, 30 days.
And then, of course, you mentioned that the market took a pretty good hit after the report, especially in the beans, where USDA raised the carryout to 505 million. I think they reduced exports by 70 million. That was, what, the third time in a row on those quarterly grain stocks reports that exports were reduced. Fundamentally, the marketplace finally realized how many beans were out there, but farmers had already taken advantage of some of those higher prices. And I think they probably realized what they had in their bins already, too.
Yeah, and we think to a big degree, because since the report, the break in beans hasn't been that big. So the trade did a good job of anticipating a bigger carryover. We ran that 100 million bushel ending stock number through the model, and it said, okay, you're only going to be, because you already started with 400 million bushels of carryover,
mm-hmm.
and you're dealing with a pretty inelastic market now because the supplies are already high, you're probably only looking at about a third of a penny decrease in price for every million bushels. So that ended up being about 30 cents. From where we started out, you know, before the report numbers were released. So, indeed, the trade has handled that very well. Now, that having been said, the trade is also now looking forward, saying we better bring demand back because you've got your price break. The cash prices have gone down. You better get China back on because you've got South American harvest right around the corner. So that's what we're really talking aggressively with farmers with right now. And all the economists or all the analysts up there in Pontiac said the exact same thing. You've got a window here of about 30 or 40 days before South America stops concentrating on harvesting their new crop and goes back to selling what they have in their bins and what they are getting to the ports. So the U.S. farmer really doesn't want to overplay his hand, because come 45 days from now or so, you're going to have a reversal where we become maybe the second choice in terms of who and who buys our grain from us, buys our beans from us, and the currencies are going to play a lot of role in that. So we want to utilize bounces. We want to utilize the fact that we have most of the export market for the next 30 days to clean the bins in the 05 beans.
You've mentioned Pontiac a couple of times. Dave Dickey, of course, Director of Agricultural Programming up there. I think that was last night along with you and I suppose a couple of other analysts. And things went well?
Yeah, a couple nights ago went really, really well. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether we've been in Illinois or I just came back from Toledo, Ohio, about a week and a half ago. It seems like the farmers have done a very good job of rewarding the market prior to the report. I think the one thing we really want to work on now is, at least from the trading standpoint, Todd, we talked about the wheat needing to bottom, especially in Kansas City, because it is getting, and I'm not stretching anything here, because we've got clients in Stinnett, Texas. We've got clients in Goodland, Kansas. We are getting into a almost dire situation for moisture in those regions,
mm-hmm.
and their stands are very, very poor. So we're getting an issue domestically here in the Southern Plains. We've also got a lot more attention being garnered from what's going on in the Ukraine and record low temperatures in Russia. That's putting a little bit more pressure on the wheat, that the wheat needs to find a little bit more upside and to really keep bushels at home and not let them get in the export market. And we really sincerely mean that. Everybody talks about how bad demand in wheat is, but it's really not that bad at all when you look at the commitments year to date. And so if we're going to have a problem here at home, we're probably going to need to keep more wheat here at home. And the market's job now, between now and harvest, is to decide whether how much we need to keep, and that may mean putting a four on top of or in front of the Kansas City wheat price. And those spreads at the end of this week did go inverse, and that means the March and the May are now premium to the new crop July. So that's a very key element that Chicago is very, very well aware of at the close of today.
So you're talking about a 75-cent rally or at least a 60-cent rally in the wheat pit.
You can do irreversible damage in the southern plains in the next 3 weeks with that good precip. And if you turn cold again, then you're going to be facing a winter kill situation because those folks, by and large, have broken dormancy big time.
Let me take that back. You're talking about a 15-cent rally in the wheat pit in Kansas City.
That's
and
right,
if you were
15.
I was looking at the soft red winter wheat in Chicago when I quoted that number. I want to come back to the beans and the corn real quick. USDA, of course, last week on the reports raised their average cash price that they thought farmers were going to get because, in the report it said, because they thought by FSA numbers that farmers had done a much better job of marketing corn earlier this year, this past marketing year, than they did ever before. So this, for the current crop, I suppose. So they picked up probably June prices or something like that. And then we just discussed that they did a really good job of rewarding the market in December and prior to this report. So is there any consequence at some point for the producer doing such a good job other than they've done a good job? What is there a consequence yet to come in the marketplace because of this?
Yes, later in the year, and it would show up most in corn. If we have a subpar planted acreage number and application rates of nitrogen are not put down as heavy as much as they normally are because some seed companies are saying you can cut back, you still got plenty of N in the ground. If you don't have ideal weather, Todd, and you don't have any old crop stocks, then you're rearing your head for that 95-96 picture again because that's almost exactly what happened in 95-96. We came off a great big 94, and 95 was okay. But then demand, guess what? Demand came back, and, you know, we're talking 10 billion bushel demand now, and we're in the camp that just to put it into context, we're not bullish corn right now. We're laying out a longer-term philosophy, and so I don't want people to think that we're just super bullish corn, but these things have to be looked at. But that's how you get into that mess of not having enough crop, because you've done a very good job of getting it in the marketing channel earlier on. So that's something definitely we're looking at, and it goes back to the outside markets and the fact that the dollar has stayed weak, and those crude oil and gold have continued to make highs. You know, February gold made a brand new contract high today early in the day. So those issues all come together and say we need to be careful in 06 on how we hedge. We need to be careful about wondering whether we're going to get the LDP. Our motto is you're not going to see the LDP you got last year because USDA is going to make changes, and you're also not going to get the acres. And if you get the acres, you're probably not going to get the nitrogen rates. And so if you just put into your marketing plan in 07 for corn, you're not going to get that LDP that you got this past year if you got over 40 cents.
Close out with livestock for me. Japan imposing a ban on beef again, that because they found a spinal cord in one of the meat exports that came out of the U.S. from a processing plant. Any consequences there?
No, but a big, big, big day at the Merck. We got a cattle on feed report that was just released, and the marketing's number came out very disappointing, 97%. April cattle, fat cattle, closed on their 40-day moving average, were $1.40 from the contract high. The report, the moving average, and the Japanese issue you bring up, we're going to hedge all of our April fats and springtime fats Monday morning.
And you're not the only one that's looking for, I don't know, a fairly large down movement in the livestock arena, especially for the cattle.
It goes back to the southern plains. There's just no feed out there except in the feedlots because of what's happened in the pasture. So we are going to see placements, you know, hit, and with cheap corn, they're going to feed them out pretty good, we think.
We appreciate you being with us, Mike.
Nice to have you back, Todd.
Yeah, thank you. Mike Zuzlo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, joins us from his West Lafayette, Indiana office. At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name is Steve Hilberg. Our own Mike Sola forecast looks like this for this afternoon in northwestern Illinois. Mostly cloudy skies, some snow arriving. Elsewhere in the north, cloudy, some rain, snow arriving, changing to all snow by this evening. In central sections, cloudy, scattered showers. In the south, cloudy, a few showers and some thunderstorms. Highs today from 33 in northwestern Illinois to 60 in the far south. Tonight in northern sections and west central Illinois, snow. It'll be heavy at times. in East Central Illinois and Central Indiana. Some showers, perhaps a few thunderstorms, mixing with and then changing to all snow. In the south, showers, some scattered thunderstorms, lows from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 44 in the far south. By the way, a heavy snow warning in effect for the Chicago metropolitan area this evening through tomorrow morning. A winter storm watch in effect for much of far northern Indiana this evening and late tonight. And a winter weather advisory in effect for west central northwestern Illinois and portions of northeastern Illinois and northwestern Indiana this afternoon until early tomorrow morning. In today's agricultural news, the Japanese have reimposed their ban on U.S. beef imports. Japan's prime minister says that country will reimpose its ban on U.S. beef just weeks after partially reopening the marketplace. The move comes as some specified risk materials, in this case parts of a cow's spinal column, were found in a shipment of U.S. beef to Japan. A U.S. meat processing facility is suspected of having shipped to Japan beef with spinal cord. That's according to Japan's Kyodo News, which quoted the Japanese ag minister. There's been no official reaction from the U.S. Meat Export Federation, but U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns had this to say. He says, while this is not a food safety issue, it is an unacceptable failure on the part of the United States to meet the requirements of its agreement with Japan. He says the U.S. takes the matter seriously and recognizes the importance of its beef export market and that it is acting swiftly and firmly to rectify the problem. The other big news happened on Wednesday of this week, but we'll go back through it today because of its importance to farmers across the Midwest. Dow AgroSciences and Monsanto have reached a global agreement creating new choices for farmers. The companies reached an agreement that creates new and growing business opportunities, they say, for both companies under this agreement. Dow and Monsanto cross-licensed intellectual property and product licenses in corn and soybeans on a non-exclusive basis. Dow received a commercial license to certain Monsanto seed stock and biotechnology traits for both corn and soybeans. In addition, Dow received royalty-bearing rights to create and license finished hybrids, which combine Monsanto's Roundup Ready Corn 2 technology with Dow's Herculex 1 and Herculex Extra technologies to licensees of Monsanto's Roundup Ready. Dow and Monsanto also established cross licenses of cotton technologies, that on a non-exclusive basis as well. Dow's license includes Monsanto's patent estate for cotton transformation. Monsanto's license now includes the patent estate for glyphosate-tolerant cotton of Mycogen Plant Sciences Incorporated. That's an affiliate of Dow AgroSciences. Dow receives the intellectual properties licenses for the commercialization of wide-strike insect protection technology. Monsanto gets the intellectual property licenses related to its Bollgard and Bollgard 2 Roundup Ready and Roundup Ready Flex technologies. Monsanto also receives a commercial license for wide-strike technology in South America and Mexico. And finally, Dow and Monsanto also established some non-exclusive cross-licenses of certain enabling technologies. Dow's license includes Monsanto's patent estate for synthetic BT technology. Monsanto's license includes the patent estate for BT in plants owned by Mycogen. And that's a look at the agricultural news for the day. Up next, sometimes it's easier for the wife to sell grain. Sometimes it's easier for the wife of a farmer to sell the crop. The reason, it seems, farm wives are sometimes better equipped to sell grain or any other commodity produced on the farm is that they aren't, quote, in love with the product. Generally, farm women have not put the crop in the ground, or tended it through the year, or participated very much in its harvest. In short, the farm wife is not vested in the crop, and therefore sees it differently and sometimes with less value than her husband. University of Illinois Extension's Ruth Hambleton says this detachment can make them better marketers.
We've heard those comments. We've witnessed them. Women just say, tell us how to do it, and we're going to do it. The men, on the other hand, as you said, they have raised this commodity. They have it stored, and their ego is on the line now. They have got to get the top dollar out of this commodity that they've raised. Whereas women, if we tell them, sell early, sell in increments, and underpin your marketing plan with a good crop insurance program, they have no problem adopting that whatsoever.
Hamilton says men fall in love with the commodity, but women, well, they just tend to follow the orders. In the first year, she says, they may not pull the trigger and make sales at the right point, but they learn quickly. Hamilton originated a program now popular in Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri. It's called Annie's Project. She says the latest U.S. agricultural census tells us 5,253 of the 76,000 farms in Illinois are operated by women, and that they sell over $182 million in agricultural products. Annie's Project was created for them in honor of Annie Fleck, Ruth Hamilton's mother. She was a farm wife that took over the books and died a very rich woman. The farm wasn't very solvent when she first took on those books and the management from her husband. The first phase of Annie's Project teaches farm women the basics of agriculture. It's 6 weeks worth of classwork on finances and ownership issues, risk management, life and property insurance, and the use of Excel spreadsheets. The women are taught to use the U of I's FarmDoc website and the FAST tools available there. That's the Farm Analysis Solution Tools. Two more sessions are held later in the Annie's Project coursework. One focuses, naturally, on marketing grain. The other provides training on three different financial management computer software programs. A website maintained by Iowa State University has information on the project. The web address is www.extensioniastate.edu/Annie. Just search Annie's Project in your favorite Google search engine. The next set of courses in Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri are primarily scheduled for the month of February. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for filling in this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd. You're welcome.
Tell me about this marketplace since USDA released the reports last Thursday and how things have changed there at the Andersons, if at all.
Well, the USDA should pay all the grain merchandisers vacation pay, because since the report came out, the farmers have been very non-interested sellers. It's been very quiet the last week, and basis levels are starting to improve as a result of that.
And the topic of discussion in the elevator is what?
Farmers are wishing they would have sold more beans above $6 and hoping now to get another chance, and it's going to take, obviously, weather problems out of South America to get us back over $6. As far as corn is concerned, farmers did a very good job of selling corn on the way up into that report, old crop corn anyway. We didn't see as much new crop sales made, but hopefully we'll have more opportunities later on this spring and summer. But farmers did a good job of selling old crop corn, but now that the market's sold off about a dime, farmers are waiting it out, and we'll see whether the market rallies or if they need the money to pay bills. We'll have to see which tug of war, who wins out on that tug of war.
Next big thing to happen will be the planning intentions report at the end of March or something else?
Well, that's probably the big thing. Now, I suppose we could see if we have export sales as good as they were today for the next 2 or 3 weeks, that might convince some people that maybe there's some demand at these lower prices and maybe the funds kick in and maybe we can push this thing back up a dime. On the other hand, if we have avian flu or some other scare story like that, we could push these things down a little bit. But probably, more than likely right now, the planning intentions report on March 31 will be the next big market mover.
And finally, this one's just a bit off topic, but what are they saying about the Dow AgroSciences and the Monsanto deal that looks, and I think this is what it'll do, is it'll allow Herculex to be put, in fact, I'm fairly certain it is, Herculex put into other things other than Pioneer hybrids.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're exactly right, and I think there seems to be less of a concern about worldwide acceptance anymore, and I think we'll start to see, we'll continue to see more and more of the genetically modified products come out like that.
And then in that little news story, I made note at the bottom, and I don't know that much has been made out of this, that It appears that Monsanto gets wide strike, and I'm not quite certain what that is. It's an insect resistance of some sort for cotton, and they get to use it in Mexico and South America. That may be for the bean, good for the bean complex in the long run, I would suppose.
I think you're exactly right. I'm not exactly sure how that's all going to play out, but it sure sounds like that would be supportive for soybeans in the long run.
All right. And your bids for the day?
Cash corn here at Champaign is 201, new crop corn 226. Cash beans are 556, new crop 581, old wheat is 311, and new wheat is 327.
Greg, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Anderson, joins us usually on Mondays, filling in this afternoon for Mr. Bostard out of Williamsville, who is away for the day. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Southwest Champaign residents seeking to form their own mass transit district have been allowed to go ahead with a March 21st referendum. A state appellate court has denied an appeal from the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District to block the referendum. The CUMTD has already annexed the most populous area of the proposed Southwest Champaign MTD. Judge Chase Leonard said the question of which MTD has jurisdiction over the disputed territory can be settled later, if voters approve the referendum. A Ford County man convicted of murder will receive a new trial under a ruling from the Illinois Supreme Court today. David Harry says when he shot his estranged wife and her lover, he was involuntarily intoxicated due to a mixture of antidepressants and sleeping medication. Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana is receiving a $5 million federal grant, allowing it to extend a program that treats patients with chronic illness and monitors their progress for a nationwide research project. Carl has been a participant in the Medicare Coordinated Care Demonstration Program since 2001. The grant extends the project for 2 more years. The program looks for new ways to care for patients with diabetes, coronary artery disease, and congestive heart failure. An enhanced Indiana sex offender registry goes online Monday. The database will be available on the web at indianasheriff.org. It consolidates 2 existing sex offender registries and can be searched by an offender's name, city, county, or zip code. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says too many poor seniors and disabled people are having trouble getting their medicine through the new Medicare benefit program, which took effect January 1st. Durbin is one of several Democrats introducing a bill today in the Senate that would require all prescription drug plans to give new enrollees at least 30 days' worth of medicine during their transition to Medicare. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is AM 580. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here in Champaign. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like there are heavy storm warnings and winter storm watches and winter weather advisories out, depending on where you are in the Midwest. Tell me the kind of weather we'll have over the next 24 hours.
Well, we're going to actually have some good stormy weather for across the Midwest in Illinois here. Something that I think everybody's been, you know, in some ways looking forward to. We need to get some moisture in the ground, and this storm will do it. January precipitation right now for Illinois is near to above normal just about everywhere except far northern Illinois, where it's somewhat below. But this storm here could even things out quite a bit. The heaviest precipitation looks like it will roughly lie along a Quincy to Moline to Chicago line, where they could get up to 3/4 of an inch of water. Of course, depending on how much falls of snow, will obviously depend on how much snow they get, and they are calling for anywhere from 4 to 8 inches up in that area. Unfortunately, far northwestern Illinois looks like they'll just be on the fringes of this, and right now maybe 1/4 to 1/3 of an inch there, but you know, a little shift in the storm track could give some areas more or less precipitation. Down here south of south of I-80 and south of I-74, it'll be mostly rain. There will be some snow here through central Illinois, but it looks like we could get maybe 1/4 to perhaps 1/2 inch of water equivalent. And that's pretty good for January, where average precipitation really ranges from about an inch and a half north to maybe 3 inches in far southern Illinois.
A quick in and out storm?
Yeah, it'll be pretty much gone by tomorrow morning. And any snow that falls down here will probably melt by tomorrow afternoon. Up north, if they get 4 to 6 inches, it's going to take a while to melt. But, yeah, we're not going to be dealing with this for very long.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, John.
Steve Hilberger is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here in Champaign County. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.